this morning, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Yes. Thursday afternoon. Amen. Stand with me for the reading of the Word. Let's move quickly tonight. You're not a total minister in the house. My wife, your pastor, good people. Amen. But let's move quickly tonight because I just feel such a tremendous burden for this church.
Amen.
Yes. For the city.
Yes.
So just want to help somebody tonight.
Amen.
I want to help this church tonight. Amen. Luke 16, and verse number 19, familiar passage of scripture. Amen. Luke 16, and verse number 19. Amen. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that that beggar died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses, if they don't hear the preacher and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. I want to try to help this church tonight. Now, I believe that this tonight is, it needs to be a turning point.
Yeah.
It needs to be a turning point tonight. I want to preach to us tonight on this thought. I want to preach to us sermons from hell. Sermons from hell. Now here's what I want us to do. I want you to close your eyes and set down your Bibles. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. And would you help me pray? And would you just say, Father, speak to us tonight. Lord, whatever you're going to do, I think you should do it tonight, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, help me pray with me. Father, yes, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. good. Let's pray right now. Come on, come on, come on. Let's pray right now. Death seems to be something that is that we as people were unable to really comprehend. It's hard to really think about death. It's hard to really imagine that we are going to die. And in the reality of the truth, the sad and realistic, if we can really, if the Lord would allow us to, if He'd allow us to open up the book of life and see here in this room whose place, whose name is written in it right now. The sad and the realistic truth is not every person who's in this house, his name is written in that book. Not every person who's sitting in this house is on their way to heaven. If we can be honest in this place, if we can just really get real, there's probably people in this room right now who are on their way to a devil's hell. There are probably people in this room right now who, if we're speaking on right now, we're not going to heaven. Not every person who worships God and comes on an extra night is going to heaven. Not every person who raises their hands and prays at church on a Sunday is going to heaven. Not every person who is proclaimed to be a Christian is going to heaven.
Amen.
It's just a matter of the truth. And if we can be honest in this place, we can say that there's some ladies in this house, and maybe you've been in church for a long time and you've grown cold in the Lord. And if we can be honest in this house, we can say that things aren't quite how they're supposed to be right now. And we can say, if we can really get honest and look, and we can really expose some things in the spiritual realm, we know that there's probably some men in this house tonight, and we have some hidden sins that nobody else knows about. And those sins will cause us to miss heaven and make hell our eternity. Brother Toppy, this makes me uncomfortable. Good. I hope it does make you uncomfortable tonight. I hope tonight that I preach hell so hot that you come down to an altar and you repent of your sins.
Amen.
I hope tonight, I hope to God tonight that I preach hell into your spirit so hot that you make up your mind, I'm not going to be lukewarm anymore. But I'm going to change my destiny tonight. I hope it makes you so uncomfortable that you begin to come down to an altar of repentance. And there will be a God that will meet you there. And He'll change your destiny tonight.
All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you the truth tonight. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell, number one, because I love Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than the riches of this earth. I'd rather have him than be the richest man walking among us. I'd rather have him than have fame and fortune. I'm telling you here tonight that we've got to fall in love with Jesus. If we aren't in love with Him, we won't have a prayer life. If we aren't in love with Him, we won't worship Him. If we aren't in love with Him, we won't go to heaven. We've got to fall in love with Him. If we aren't in love with Him, we won't fast. If we aren't in love with Him, we won't pay our tithes. If we aren't in love with Him, we won't give offering. We've got to fall in love with Him. We've got to fall in love with His holiness. We've got to fall in love with His righteousness. We've got to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
The truth is, the devil is the god of this world, and he wants to water down the reality of hell and make it into a fantasy.
Right.
That's the reason that secular music has made it something just to sing about, because it wants to numb the reality of hell. It wants to numb itself from your mind. It wants to numb the reality of an
eternity. That's the reason it was popularized of songs like AC/DC, On the Highway to Hell, or songs that reference Party in Hell, or songs like For Our Young People, songs by Billie Eilish that sing All Good Girls Go to Hell. I'm telling you that hell wants to numb the reality of itself. Popular TV shows like Lucifer or The Good Place or My Little Demon is trying to get us to numb the reality that this world is either going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell. I'm coming here to tell you tonight that you can numb it all you want. You can numb it all you try. But one day every knee's going to bow. Get honest today, and we can look at some things. We can see that not only is that, I know there's some of us, and we're sitting here and we're saying, well, that's good because I don't own a TV and I don't listen to that type of music. But if we can get honest in this place, we can say that the numbing attributes of the devil, the numbing attributes of hell, that he wants to numb hell from us, that's even creeped into the church. That's become a culture of the church. That's become a culture of how we have services. People come in and we claim that we believe in hell. We claim that we believe in eternity, but we really do not believe it.
Come on.
We come in and we claim that there's going to be an eternity, but in reality, we really don't believe that there's an eternity. Well, how can you say that? I'll tell you how it's proven. It's proven by your worship. If you really claim that you believe in eternity, if you really claim that you believe that there's going to be a heaven or a hell, you wouldn't have to have anybody come here and pump you up to worship. You wouldn't have to have anybody to come in and say you got to worship.
Amen.
Come in and claim. They believe in it, but they don't raise their hands. Come in and believe that we believe in hell. And we believe that we have family members who are on the way to hell. And we believe that we have a city who's on their way to hell. But we don't come in and pray.
Come on.
Let me help us tonight. Because you have to understand me in my burden for this church. Because I just felt such a strong burden for this assembly. And I don't even just mean the people that are here right now. I mean the people that the Lord is wanting to bring into this place. I just feel such a strong burden for you people. And you have to understand me where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from you with a heart of hate and anger. I'm not coming to you out of my own flesh, but I am going to say it, and I'm just going to make it straight for us tonight. If we don't pray, there's no reason to keep on going on with the Bible.
Amen.
Let me break it down and ask it like this. What did we do when we came to service tonight? How did some of us come into service tonight? Did we really come in and did we seek the face of the Lord? Or did we just come in and rush in because that's just how we've always been? I'm telling you, prayer is what's going to change things. Prayer is what's going to bring revival. If we really believe that there's a hell, we're going to pray. If we really believe that not our city is going to, if you really believe that you got family who's going to hell, you can't afford to come in and patty cake around. You can't afford to come in and play games. You come in, you'll be a prayer warrior. You come in, you're an angel, you want. God change my city. God change my church. We got a hell of a culture of prayer. We got to have a culture of prayer. If we don't pray, nobody will get the Holy Ghost. If we don't pray, nobody. Hey, I'm telling you, thank God for some of our musicians that came in and came tonight and prayed. But I'm telling you, I'd rather have us be playing music off of the phone and doing a little karaoke tonight, and then have a bunch.
right.
Amen.
We don't need talent. We need prayer.
Amen.
Call me old fashioned. That's fine. I'm telling you. We don't need prayerless talent. We need people that will come in and that will seek the face of the Lord, and they will begin to get up on those instruments. And when they know that they touch the hem of His garment, they'll begin to have an anointing that will flow from heaven. There will be an anointing that will begin to come out. Instead of it changes atmospheres when you pray. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know how I got on this tonight. But I'm going to stay on it because I feel it right now in my spirit. It changes home cultures when you pray. It fixes marriages when you pray. It can deliver alcoholics when you pray. It can deliver somebody out of homosexuality when you pray. It can deliver somebody out of drugs when you pray.
Yes. Yes.
I was in a church in Mississippi. We stayed there for 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, I believe it was, me and my wife. And we got in. We did Sundays and Mondays. We had multiple weeks like that. We got in. Church was running about 30 people, I believe it was, consistently. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. 30 people, he said, they just got in praying. He said, I've been pushing prayer. I've been trying to push it. I began to encourage that church, and I told them, if you'll get up together and you'll come by the church during the day and we'll begin to pray, we'll watch God bust this thing out.
Yeah.
Yes. I pushed them. I said, you know what? Find a burden for prayer. You come in those 30 minutes early. I know we work. It's a Monday. I know we're tired on a Sunday. But you push yourself and you come in on those 30 minutes early, and you really seek the face of the Lord. And what happens is that church bought into it. And you know what they did? They begin to ladies, begin to, I'm talking elders, begin to get together during the middle of the day. Women, they would come in and they begin to get in that sanctuary, and we walk through because we would come through the sanctuary during the middle of the day, and they'd be in there praying and travailing. They'd be in there, and angels would be ringing heaven, and there would be a flow that began to come down. And can I tell you, by the time we left, they were running consistently about 80 people in just a matter of 6 weeks. God began to give them increase, and families began to come in, not because of Brother Tapia, not because they were special people, but you know why? It was because there was a church that was willing to get beside themselves and pray.
Amen.
Prayer changes mindsets.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you start praying, you'll see what God sees in you. He doesn't see us as failures. He doesn't see us as the losers. He doesn't see, you know what he sees? He sees people that are part of Abraham's seed. That means we're blessed when we come in and we're blessed when we go out. That means he sees the people that have dominion. We have dominion in our finances. We have dominion in our city. That means we are victorious. We're victorious in our finances. We're victorious in our city. We're blessed. We won't pray if we really don't believe in hell. We claim we believe in hell, but we never witness to anybody who teaches Bible studies. We claim we believe in hell. We claim we believe in eternity, But we treat church as just a casual get-together rather than a destiny change. We claim that we believe in hell. We claim that we believe in walls of brimstone. We claim that we believe in eternity. But yet we allow our families to just do whatever they want. And we'll continue to live life any way that they want to. Oh, but we claim we believe in hell. I'm telling somebody here tonight, I want to help somebody. I didn't come to be ugly, but I just come to help somebody tonight. I've come with a burden from the Lord tonight. I'm telling you, if we really believe in hell, it'll change us. If we really believe in hell, it'll shift our atmosphere. If we really believe in hell, we got to get out of casual church. We got to get out of casual services. We got to realize that there is an eternity. You can try to numb it down. You can try not to believe it. You can claim that it's all fairy tale. You can claim that it's nothing. It'll never happen. But I've come to tell you that there's going to be a day where you're wearing your shoes for the very last time. There's going to be a day where you lay down to sleep for the very last time, and you'll wake up, and you'll either wake up in hell where your soul is engulfed in flames forever.
Amen.
Or you'll wake up in heaven. Can I tell you, hell is more real than anything you've ever experienced. The pain is more real than any pain you've ever known before. And I'm telling you here tonight that it's real. I'm telling you here tonight you can come in and you can try to shut off the voice of a preacher. You can come in and you can try to change your mind. You can try to distract yourself. You can try to think about something else. But I'm telling you, the more you do that, the closer we are to a devil's hell. Rich man sitting in hell. Sitting in hell. On earth, he was a rich man. On earth, he was a businessman. He was not a preacher. But in hell, something changes. In hell, a rich man becomes preacher. On earth, he could have been nothing but an average saint. On earth, he could have been nothing but the greatest sinner. But in hell, he became a preacher. I want to tell you here tonight that I believe that the greatest sermons that we could ever imagine are being preached in hell right now. I want you to know that there's no real words that I can use to describe hell. I can get up here and I can preach it as hard as I can preach it. And I'm telling you, it won't even scratch the surface of the reality of how horrible hell really is. And I'm telling you that there is the voices of millions of preachers who are right now raising up their voice in hell. There are screams of hundreds of thousands of young people who are in hell preaching right now. There are hundreds of millions of men preaching in hell right now. There are screams of women as they scream in hell right now. I'm telling somebody that there's a voice who live in your same city, who live on your same street, who live real close to you, screaming in hell right now, please don't come here. Please don't come to hell. There's the voices of people preaching in hell right now. They're preaching whatever thing they have, saying there's worms that come and they eat my flesh. They eat my skin night and day. And they never die. Please stay right. Please don't come to hell. There's a preacher in hell right now preaching. Oh, understand. My body's hurting. And it never stops. It's burning and it never stops. Please get baptized in Jesus' name. Please just do right. There's a voice of a mama preaching in hell right now, saying, please, my to total darkness. It's damnation. It's hopelessness. There are millions of the greatest sermons being preached in hell right now, saying, please, please don't come here. Whatever you do, please don't come here. I remember being a young boy, just a young man. I felt a call from the Lord at a very, very young age. Went to a dysfunctional church. My youth group was backslid together, sleeping with each other, smoking pot with one another, drinking with each other. Smoking cigarettes. I mean, they would go after service behind the church and sit in a big circle and pass around a cigarette. You got to understand, these were my family, my best friends, my cousin. We prayed in altars together. We have this youth conference every year. The last night, Friday night, the preacher preached on hell. I just sat at that altar. Just felt such a tremendous burden. Just feel such an extreme burden. I went home that Saturday. I didn't think upstairs. Got in my mom's room. She asked me, she said, baby, how was it, baby? How was everything? And I remember looking at her and that same burden fell in that room. I was just a young man. I looked at her, but I knew. And I asked her, I said, Mom, I said, Mommy, I know, Devin, I know my cousin's going to hell right now. I know Matthew, I know Zach is on the way to hell right now. Why do they want this world over God? Such a burden, such a heaviness for them. And I'm telling you tonight, I feel that same burden. Oh, I feel that same burden from this city. I feel that same burden for this church right now, because I know that there's some of us, and I know you look good on the outside. I know you've been in church for a few. You got to hear my heart tonight. I'm not up here to be ugly, but I've come to tell somebody, I know you got to dress on. I know you've been in church for so long, but you brought a call in the Lord. You let zeal fall out of your spirit. You let passion lead you. You said, I have love of God tonight. I'm telling you, Oliver, I read the statistics. Oh, you got to understand the burden that's on my spirit. I read the statistics of the city. I see how fast it's growing. I'm telling you, this ought to be a prime spot for revival. there's souls all around us that are on their way to hell. And how dare we say that we believe in hell when we come to service and have accidents of call worship and have no prayer, but a little lady down and sing tonight prayer? I'm telling you here tonight that there's a burden. There's a burden that needs to be tapped, that needs to be re-tapped into tonight. But listen, you got to hear me. There's something that needs to be rebirthed in this church tonight. There's something that needs to switch in our spirits tonight. We've got to get the reality that there's a hell. We've got to get the reality that we're chasing time. We're racing it. Come on, help me pray right now. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, close those eyes. Help me pray right now. It needs to reunite right now. Come on, if it doesn't happen tonight, we might as well close it off. I'm telling you, it needs to happen right now. It needs to reunite with somebody right now. You need to get that burden for your family back right now. You need to get that burden for your kids back right now. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on, he's stirring somebody right now. Come on, there's a burden trying to happen right now. Come on, there's something we're trying to plug into right now. To help me right now. I need every singer to help me now. I need every preacher to raise every voice to me right now. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray right now. Come on, let's lift up our voice. Come on, there's somebody trying to move in this house. There's somebody, I need a daddy. I need a mom that will say, my kids gotta go to heaven.
I'm really out of control.